So I am a compulsive overeater, and I am also high functioning on the autism scale. I didn't find out that I was on the autism spectrum until 2009, shortly before my 66th birthday. Which means that I spent more than my half my life with this problem, not knowing it. A complication to that is that what was called Asperger's syndrome until 2013 wasn't recognized in the United States until the early 90s. So I was about 50 years old when it would have become even possible to get diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome in the United States. Things were different in Europe, but we have our standards here. So what I'd like to do is talk about my history with eating and where those problems seem to have come from. And then my experience with autism, and then bring the two together to explain how I see them functioning together in my life. So, my earliest memories about food are very indistinct, but I firmly believe that my mother did something or other that encouraged me to believe that a way to secure love was by eating, and by eating everything that was presented to me. So at an early age, I began to eat everything that someone put in front of me. It has developed over the years into a kind of odd habit that I clean my plate very completely. It's very hard for me to have any leftover food. And so that cleaning my plate was also encouraged by my grandfather. When we had dinner with my grandmother and grandfather, they all often took us to restaurants for dinner. And he had a clear rule that if you order it, you have to eat it or pay for it. Now, I was never worried about that because I just ate it all. At one point, I think when I might have been in high school already, my brother finally said, "I'm not going to eat any more of this food. How much do I owe you?" And my grandfather was terribly embarrassed. But this at home when I was growing up, I started eating fast. Somehow I had this fear that my father would eat all the food if I didn't eat fast enough to get second and third helpings. I can distinctly remember that I began eating snacks while watching television. We didn't eat in front of the television, except there was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years when we roasted hot dogs in the basement on a fireplace and didn't watch television. But so that wasn't an issue for me. But eating became an important way to get praised. And it also, I think at some point became a way to deal with anxiety. And that kind of works its way into the autism issue. But beginning in the 1970s, my metabolism, I think, began to change. And so for the first time, I began to gain weight that I didn't need. And that has become a serious problem for me. I would typically gain, as an adult, I typically would gain 10 or 15 pounds in the fall and then work to get some of it off. But all I did was increase my weight over the years, except like all of us, I had my times when I went on a diet and lost weight and gained it all back plus. So my eating was just, I had no limit to what I was willing to eat. Once we were to have dinner, my parents and my brother and sister and I were to have dinner at my grandparents' house. And my brother had been gone to work with my father that day. And my father had to stay at work and they didn't get to dinner. So I don't know what I was thinking, but I ate their share as well as my share. It was painful. When dessert came, I was unable to swallow it. There just wasn't any room in my stomach. It was kind of related, I think, to the fact that my grandmother had this way of saying that if there were leftovers, that we didn't like it, and if there weren't leftovers, she didn't make enough food. I think that that's not unique, but that was her thing. So I had a lot of problems growing up that I now understand are related to autism. I had terrible social relationships, or no social relationships, maybe is a better way to put it. It wasn't until junior high when in my town that we switched schools, and all of the three feeder schools were all combined into one school for junior high. And somebody decided that it would be good for me to make new friends. And therefore, for the first time, I was separated in school from my only friend. And the result of that is that I didn't have friends anymore until college. There were people I did things with, but no real friend in that kind of way. And I'm still kind of unhappy about that. He lives in California now, and we've had almost no contact since we went to college. So there are these social problems. I told my father that I didn't have any friends and I wanted to know what to do about it. My father was also on the spectrum, so his answer was useless. He said, don't worry about it. I was interested in reading, and I think that I wound myself up in books to the to the exclusion of everything else. It was a way to avoid not having good social relationships. Somewhere along the line, I developed some kind of sensory needs for eating, and that was the beginning of where autism and eating went together. I think that I would come home from school anxious about my homework and the work I wasn't getting done. And I would have a snack after school that probably was enough food for a couple of meals. I had ADHD along with autism, and the combination of ADHD, of not being able to be still, and sensory needs has always left me fiddling with things, and it can be very distracting to other people. over time, some people that I spend with a lot kind of get used to it and they know what's going to happen. I used to bite my fingernails. My mother bribed me 1 year to, she'd buy me a camera if I would stop biting my fingernails. So I stopped. And then I'm easily distracted and I have bad organization and almost no ability to plan. All those three characteristics do not a good lawyer make. But I function, I practice law, and rarely have really bad results from that. But my autism led to anxiety, social anxiety, and the social anxiety caused more eating. I began to eat because it would calm me down. For one long period from about the beginning of college in 1961 or 62 until 1988, I smoked pipes, which solved much of my need for sensory needs. But it meant that I offended a lot of people because I don't have a good sense of smell or taste. It's not very effective. And so I smoked very strong tobacco, Turkish tobacco. So people didn't like that. So, you know, this is how I was. And so now I come to OA, which I joined about 4 years ago. I started out and I read the first two steps and I saw that as no problem. I realized my eating was crazy, that it was insane, and that whatever, you know, if I could turn that over to the direction of my own higher power, which I've described, I think, at some points in this meeting, but it is based upon my understanding of my religion. And so I then had to begin to cope with how was I going to do step three. And step three has been a giant obstacle for me. And the obstacle, I think, arises out of autism. I don't change very well. I don't change habits. I don't change from my way of doing things. That's part of what the problem is with planning. I can't use a to-do list for more than a couple of weeks because I don't have a habit of doing it. And I'm not convinced that it's going to do me any better than, well, somewhere in my mind, it's not going to do any better for me than kind of trying to keep track of everything, which doesn't work either. I have difficulty working on changes and figuring out how to change things. And I keep in OA, I've kept now for 4 years trying to look at what the problems are and figure out, you know, well, maybe this is going to solve it. Maybe that is going to solve it. I think that sometimes I come up with a new solution to these problems every 2 weeks. I've had a sponsor for most of the 4 years, and she is both persistent and understanding, but really frustrated because I won't do what she says, because I am always convinced that my way is the right way, and I'm very good at rationalizing things away. So I just keep trying to figure out how I can stop my justifications for eating. What do I have to do? And recently, I've had a little bit of success by looking at the other side of self-centeredness with humility on the other side and saying that I need to be humble enough to accept that I'm not going to be able to do better than my higher power is going to do at figuring out what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat. And unlike, I think, anyone in OA I ever heard of, I have a 4.5 page written out thing of what I believe my higher power wants me to do about eating. It was written by at the end of the 12th century, and he has been a part of the central treatises, I guess you would say, in Judaism, explaining what God's intention is for people in the Pentateuch. So that works for me. I can sometimes think of those things, but I still need to figure out how to do this. So I think that I'll stop here, particularly because my wife just called me for the third time and I've got to figure out what she wants.